Hi, I'm Brittany Ashley, your host of Breaking Norms, Building Dreams, your guide through this transformative journey in both business and life. This is your place crafted for dreamers, doers, or anyone who has been told they can't. Get ready as we challenge those narratives together. You're tuning in live to the United Public Radio Network, airing on 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. We are streaming on all the popular platforms every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join me for a candid and thought-provoking conversation celebrating your unique journey because you are worth it. Hello, good morning, or actually good afternoon. Can't remember what day we're on. It's Monday, everybody. It's been a crazy Monday. Welcome to Breaking Norms, Building Dreams. I'm your host, Brittany Ashley, and we are broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network on 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. Get ready to escape the routines and join us for the next hour as we break norms and build dreams. I'm so excited to have Tiana here with me today. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me and just talking about this topic.
I'm like, as you already know, I'm so excited to be talking about this. I know a lot of parents out there might not be so excited. We'll dig in a bit deeper, but let me do a quick introduction first. Tiana has an educational background in counseling and psychology, as well as hands-on experience at recognizing significant service gaps in addressing sexual exploitation and human trafficking. To fill these gaps, she's developed the Exploitation Education Institution with the Sex Exploitation Education C programs being at the forefront of prevention's education in this topic. Tiana focuses on tackling the root causes of sexual exploitation, and she places importance on using accessible language. She believes that an effective prevention program must steer clear of a doom and gloom approach, as empowerment is impossible when individuals feel hopeless or overwhelmed. Can I just say, because let's be honest, as a parent, looking into all of these topics are very overwhelming. Both as a seasoned professional with 10 years of experience directly in the field and as a mother, Tiana has devoted her life to fight against child and youth sexual exploitation. I'm so excited for you to be here. Maybe you can dig a little bit deeper of your background. So all the listeners, while I put a quick note to everybody that we are live to come with their questions, because this is going to be a good one.
Absolutely. So I actually started in this field 10 years ago, and the bulk of my experience comes in working in prevention on this topic, but I've also worked frontline with victims of human trafficking and youth who were at risk of sexual exploitation. And so what I really wanted to do a few years ago when I started the Exploitation Education Institute is what it's called now. But a few years ago, my hope was, you know, looking at kind of the gaps that exist right now in prevention and even in awareness. Mm-hmm. It feels like when people hear the term human trafficking, because it sounds so complex, we don't really understand what it means and we don't have conversations around it. And even the prevention initiatives are just a little bit too high level to be accessible to the general public.
Yes.
So my aim was really to utilize my skills in curriculum building and psychology and looking at human behavior to create uplifting, lighthearted materials and education that's mm-hmm. accessible to everybody and that really focuses on the root causes of human trafficking. So mm-hmm. a lot of what I do, even though my aim is to prevent human trafficking, a lot of what I do is actually addressing things like consent and boundaries, what that looks like in person and digitally for kids, and even, you know, looking at the warning signs of grooming and peer relationships and peer pressure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've educated over 80,000 people. I've spoken at conferences and have been a part of research projects, and just very excited to be on this platform and answer any questions mm-hmm. anybody might have.
I'm so excited for you to be here. As you already know, we've known each other a little bit off screen, and I just dig in deep in all these different areas, and it is overwhelming for some. I'm like, I like to say I'm like FBI when I get hyper-focused. This is probably where my ADHD like helps me a little bit that I can do all these investigations. But I do know, and I hear it from a lot of moms, mom friends, that they get overwhelmed with all the information out there, and it is a lot.
Absolutely. And I think that's like, you know, I feel like back in the day, the way that we had to protect your kids was just so straightforward. It was just simply stranger danger. And, you know, making sure that when they're outside of the house, they're going somewhere safely or they're with somebody. And now it's this overwhelming nature of, I have to also keep my kids safe when they're at home because they're on a device that connects with 5 billion people. And things like trafficking or exploitation doesn't just happen in person anymore. It starts online. And I completely understand. When I do parent presentations, one of the things that parents ask is like, how do I even start the conversation on this topic? How would I even talk about it in a way that like connects with my kid, and how much do they know, and do I don't want to scare them? And so I think that's very fair and valid, and hopefully we'll answer some of those questions today.
Yeah. So maybe we can define, well, we kind of already did a little bit, but maybe you can dig a little bit deeper. Define sexual exploitation and human trafficking.
Yeah. So sexual exploitation, it's interesting because depending on where you live, sexual exploitation is a law that speaks to a specific type of sexual interaction. Now, putting that aside, it's also an umbrella term that we use to define a lot of illegal behaviors. So with the umbrella term, sexual exploitation is anybody who's a minor, anyone who's under 18, that is engaging in sexual activity in exchange for something else. Mm-hmm. So if you're engaging in sexual activity in exchange for anything like money or drugs, or even love, popularity, acceptance, self-esteem, protection, safety. So all of that would be considered exploitation because somebody who's a minor cannot consent to sexual activity if there are strings attached and it's not, you know, freely provided, of course, depending on the age. And so what we word it as is somebody who's a minor that has been pressured, coerced, or manipulated into engaging in sexual activity because they want to get a need met. And that person that's exploiting them is exploiting that need.
Awesome. That's so good to like break that down because it's so big of a topic too. So having that kind of definition broken down a little bit more, and then human trafficking, how can we define that one? Cause that's another big one.
So this is where I think we kind of lose the ability to really like educate the public because it sounds complicated, but it's not. And I'm going to break it down. So human trafficking by law is the recruitment, the transportation, harboring, transferring of a person, or, and this is the key part of human trafficking, or the controlling of somebody else's movements and behaviors in order to exploit them and profit off of them. So to really summarize, human trafficking by law is most of the time what we see is the manipulation, coercion, or force into somebody's behaviors and movements and decision-making so that you can profit off of their body. Mm-hmm. And it's all about profiting off of the body. So that can be either through organ trafficking or labor trafficking or sex trafficking. And, you know, most of what we see is that coercion. So somebody tricking someone into selling their bodies, and then that person profits. And it's very different from human smuggling. So I did a TikTok and I had a lot of comments of people being like, well, this is just human smuggling. And I'm like, no, it's not. So human smuggling is transportation.
Okay.
Trafficking is not. Well, transportation can happen in trafficking. If we're talking about just transportation, so like illegally shipping people across a country or across borders, that's smuggling because, so like the commodity is the transportation piece. But with trafficking, the commodity is a person. So it's not about being moved so much as you've been somehow, you know, tricked or forced or manipulated into selling your body. So you can be trafficked in your own home, or at your school, or, you know, in your community without having to move from city to city.
That's crazy. I'm like, we're only like a few minutes in and I'm like learning so much. And my brain is like spinning because I have so many more questions now on top of the list.
Yeah, it's just, it's so complicated, but at the same time, so simple. Like you just think about someone who tricks somebody else and then makes money off of their body is essentially what it is.
Yeah. And the sad thing is it's happening a lot closer than sometimes we even think or that we want to think. And I know we as parents, because you have a little one too, all we want to do is protect. And so once you start like thinking about these kind of different areas, all of a sudden you just kind of want to shut down because you're like, it's just too much. I don't know how to handle it. And I know in our family, it would be like, let's just not talk about it.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping in my new role as a parent, for two little ones, is let's talk about it. And that's a big thing for the show, is like helping me bring up my own out of comfort zone of things that I don't like to necessarily talk about. And let's talk about it. It's like, I find this show for me anyways is my like inner self-healing journey.
I love that. I love that. And I think that authenticity is something that like everybody's, you know, we're all looking for how to navigate the world. And especially, yeah, if you're a parent or an adult, and these topics, they sound heavy, but that's where I think it's so important to just focus on those root issues. Like I know with my child, I'm not, first of all, she's three, so I'm not going to define human trafficking to her. But that being said, I don't need to really go into detail about trafficking. I just need to make sure that she understands consent and boundaries and what it looks like for that to be taken advantage of, or for her to be pressured, or for someone to be unhealthy in person or online, and what it looks like for her to respect her body and not to, you know, be pressured into commodifying it. And so I think those are easier conversations to have with kids. And even the idea of like, you know, traffickers or predators or those kind of things, it just comes down to having the conversations of what is healthy versus unhealthy behavior. And then what do you do if you're in that situation?
Yeah. I like that you brought that up, because I remember just even like growing up, you'd be like, stranger danger.
Yeah.
And then I remember watching like a TikTok being like, don't teach your kids that, because not all strangers are bad. So if they actually need help and you teach them that they're bad, they're not going to necessarily know where to go.
Totally. Totally. And also not all people that you know are healthy and safe either.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
yeah. It's about like those conversations and what that, yeah, what that looks like. And even like with trafficking, again, like we think of, oh, it's somebody international that gets kidnapped, and like the, oh my gosh, the TikTok videos with the zip ties. And like, I was at Target and then I came out and there were zip ties on my car. And I'm like, it's so sensationalist. And most of the time that's not actually trafficking. It could be a kidnapping ploy. It could be an assault ploy, but it's not trafficking. And so like just some ideas for the viewers to, or the listeners to think about, is like digital human trafficking can look like your child, somebody reaching out to your child and saying, hey, send me a photo of yourself partially nude and I'll give you money for it. And that's trafficking. That's it.
You see? Yeah. I just saw Brandon's comment here. So many people and loved ones even force hugs on children thinking they're giving love, but this just breaks the kids' boundaries sometimes.
Yes. I love that comment. And that's something that I really emphasize to parents. Like, we want to raise our kids to be respectful and polite. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, different cultures have different cultural norms. Some people like do kisses on the cheek and some people do hugs. And that's so important. But at the same time, yeah, we don't want to raise our kids into adults that, are people pleasing to the point that respecting somebody else or making sure we don't hurt somebody else's feelings is more important than our safety.
Yes, exactly. And
yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. And to Brandon's comment too, like you really want like your kid to be like, speak up, or like speak up for things and give hugs if that's person. But then the thing is like thinking about it too, about boundaries and another senses of it. It's like, oh yeah, maybe I should be talking more about boundaries and what that looks like than just being like, give them a hug, and starting to open your mind a little bit differently on those. And if they say no, then acknowledge that and appreciate that. Because I know, like, with parents, they're just like, oh, I just want a hug, I just want a kiss. But if you don't see them a lot, maybe they just don't feel comfortable and they just don't understand that. So maybe it's having like a group conversation as a family as a whole.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. And I like what I like to do with my child is like, you know, she has to say hi, but she gets to choose how she says hi. Right. So like if it's a smile, then it's a smile. If it's eye contact, it's eye contact. If it's a hug or a high five. Right. And there's no, if she doesn't give somebody a hug, I try really hard. I know it comes for me, it comes out automatically, but I try really hard and consciously not to be like, oh, sorry, so sorry, or like, sorry, she's shy, or sorry, she's not, you know, giving a hug right now. And just more so being like, oh, that's great. Like, you, yes, she wants to give a high five to you, and just kind of encouraging her ability to be in tune with how her body feels and what feels safe for her. And then kind of like facilitating that the other person, like the adult, doesn't feel offended.
Yes. Yeah. I totally agree. Let's talk about the prevention project before I go further, because I know we have other things that I really want to dig into, but this is also like, I'm so passionate about this project. So tell us more. Tell everybody.
Okay. So, genuinely, this is exciting. It's not just, I think it's exciting for everybody, not just for us. So what we've done, we thought, hey, there are so many topics that we need to talk about with our kids, from consent to boundaries to online safety to like the dynamics of the internet that makes us vulnerable and information sharing and traffic, like all of those things, even things like sexting and image sharing, right? So we went, okay, we want to give everybody the tools to have these conversations and do it in a fun, lighthearted way. So we created this thing called the Prevention Project, and it's a website that's essentially a hub of like 100+ animated, fun pieces of information. And so what you can do is anybody can go on it. It's for free. And you go and you choose your grade. So we've broken things down in an age-appropriate manner from grade 3 all the way to grade 12. And you go on the platform, you choose the grade that you want, and whatever topic you're picking, whatever chapter you're picking, we convey the information in different formats and in different ways, in a way that like kids understand, including these peer safety videos where we have, you know, kids that are giving tips to other kids that we would want to say. And it's the preventionproject.ca. And it launched today. So
I'm so excited because like we're just planning just before all this, just as a parent. It's just so much information. So even like grade 3, so that's usually, I don't even know sometimes how old my kids are, but age 8 or 9, right, is around grade 3. So just even bringing up those topics, or even thinking of like how you even bring it up, like we have a really close friend across the street and their kids around in those grades. And so like even knowing how to even bring up something like that and making sure that they understand it. So I'm so excited to have tools like this to help parents, aunts, uncles, whoever, just really accessible, because I think it's really needed. Because really at the end of the day, I find a lot of us sometimes use TikTok, which is good, don't get me wrong, but sometimes it could be misinformation, and or it's also giving you information that you might not how to articulate to a smaller kid and or older. Like I'm still like, I'm scared for age 16, but
same.
That's another level. But even just like making sure that they understand, like I remember like we were just talking about Stranger Danger. And I remember like when I first started as a parent, I was like, Stranger Danger. And then I started doing more research on it. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I should think of a different way of approaching it and state more or less, what was I going to say? State more or less that not all strangers will be asking a kid for help.
Yeah.
What we should start maybe you can touch more on that while I just add this here.
I love that. That's, and I think what you touched upon, Brittany, is what we want to do is instead of like we think of the topic, but then we have to narrow down exactly what are we trying to say and be very specific about it. So instead of stranger danger, it is the, you know, somebody who's a safe adult won't randomly come to you and ask you for help. And we do that with online too. So like we tell kids what is normal and what's not online. It's not normal for someone to reach out to you online and offer you money. It's just not. It's not normal for if you're playing Roblox and somebody reaches out and is like, hey, I'll give you some free Robux to, you know, tokens or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's also not normal. So it's having those conversations of what's normal and what's not. Because if we don't name it for our kids, they won't know, right? It'll be normalized. It'll be, they'll just accept it as what it is because they're pure-hearted, innocent souls. And then they project that onto other people.
Exactly. Maybe we should go into Roblox. So we just, all the listeners, we were just talking all about this that I saw, like I do love TikTok because I find like I go into that crazy hole. But the thing is, I have you as the expert to kind of educate us more on it. But I never realized because we have secure apps that we think are secured for the kiddos to play on their tablets and whatnot. But after watching that TikTok video, I'm like, oh, maybe it's not as secure as I thought. And the number one thing that they brought up was Roblox. And I was like, oh, interesting. Because I do know a few little ones constantly play that and are addicted to it. So maybe you can touch more on that.
Yeah. So here's the thing is that there will be child-made games that in itself, like they are in themselves child-friendly and innocent. However, the second it's something that connects online, it gives access to 5 billion people. It just does. And, you know, we know I don't like to do this fear-mongering thing, but just to like emphasize the point, at any second, there's 750,000 predatory people online looking to connect with kids. And that's, that's a big number. And so when you have even something as innocent as Roblox, Roblox is an innocent platform and it's made for kids, but it's absolutely wherever kids are going to be, that's where predatory people are going to go. And it is actually being used in pretty unsafe ways. So yeah, if your kid has Roblox and you're going, okay, well, you know, I've made the chat function so that they can only talk to the friends that they play these games with. What we're seeing is that on some other platform, somebody will connect with them and ask them to add them as a friend on Roblox. Or they're on Roblox and they get that request. And then so they will be using the term, I'm playing with my friends, because that's the language that we use when we're online. And what these predatory people are doing, one of them, especially on platforms like Roblox or Minecraft or Fortnite or even Discord, is they're doing something called group grooming. So what that looks like is you'll have a number of predatory adults who will come on these games and start to have sexual conversations or make sexual conversations or even have the characters in the game engage in sexual activity. And the whole point is to normalize that for the kids so that they then have their guards down and they start to cross their boundaries. And so that's actually called there's certain games that are made on Roblox called condo games. And that's where these predatory people, they create these games where the avatars essentially are just being inappropriate with each other. And it's just a way to groom and lure kids in. So if you have a kid that's playing those games, make sure that they're secure, but also constantly be checking in on, hey, you know, like, who are you playing these games with? Have you made any new friends on these platforms? Has anybody reached out to you? And, you know, and talking about like if something happens that makes you feel uncomfortable or you feel is inappropriate, come tell me so I can explain to you what you saw.
Thank you for like opening our eyes a bit more on that topic, because like we have tablets and we think that they're all secure because they're the tablets that you can get off of like Amazon. And they're for kids, not the, just like the tablets you have as a parent and all these things. So now I'm like, now I need to like investigate further or understand what the games are actually all about, maybe at a different level than just approving on like the phone. Oh, so-and-so wants to play this game. Let's let them go play it and maybe ask more questions myself as a parent.
Truly. Yeah. And like even discuss, like look into the platform and like watch mm-hmm. your kid play it or interact with it so you understand. And okay, so I'm obviously, this is my field of work. So you'd think that everything I would do would be flawless, and it's not, right? Because parenting is not perfect. It's just not. We got a tablet for my daughter, like at the Amazon, like kids tablet, right? Yeah. So yeah. Super child friendly or whatever. So we got that for our daughter, and it's just for when we go traveling, when we're on a plane ride or a long road trip, like that's when we give it to her. And, you know, I went through and I downloaded the games that I found safe. I actually played the games myself before downloading them. And then I went and I turned the Wi-Fi off to make sure that she can't download anything else. And it was interesting because, yeah, we were in the car driving, and I she's only using it when I'm around. But even then I turned over and she had just magically turned on. Like she just found a way to turn on the Wi-Fi and connect, and she had downloaded games. And I was like, what? What has happened? And it's just, yeah, like it's, we have to be actively monitoring. And like, even if something is child friendly, it's not 100% safety proof. And we just have to know that.
Yeah, those are very good points. I always joke that my son's like the mastermind of technology. Like he turned on the TV and his own show the other day, and we haven't taught him how to do that. And he's only turning 3. I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, we just taught our daughter that, and then somehow you picked up on it.
No, kids are, and yeah, it's funny because I'll have parents. It'll come up after a parent presentation and like proudly say like, oh, my kid's not allowed on Snapchat, you know? And I'm like, oh, like that's great. But so many kids have burner phones. Like so many kids, they go, you know, your kid can go to school, go on the Wi-Fi, download the app, play with it, delete it, come home, and you would never know. And like the parents are just like so shocked. Right. And it's like, again, it's the conversations you have to, the only way to keep your kids safe and kids and youth safe is conversations.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. Brandon just said they make those tablets more user-friendly, intuitive for kids than adults, I swear.
So true. That is so true.
The struggle is real.
Yeah. So true. I feel like even our generation, like millennials to Gen Z, I feel like there's such a difference in their ability to navigate tech.
Right. I was even thinking like putting my kids in like there's a Code Ninja program here. And I'm like, oh, gonna get them in Code Ninja classes and get them in coding just to have like that extra like idea of what that is. Cause let's be honest, our world is so tech savvy as it is. We're only evolving further that way. So what else can we help like kind of educate them a bit more on? Not just this stuff, but the other realms of it too.
That's so true.
Yeah. So with roadblocks, is there any other apps that you know off the top of your mind, no pressure, that parents should kind of be aware of? I know there could be like a long list, but popular ones, because roadblocks was the one that jumped out at me last night, because I know very close friends of friends, like let them all play it. And I was like, what is this thing? And they're obsessed with it. And to me, it doesn't look great, but...
Yeah. And again, like it's super innocent. The game itself is super innocent, but the police actually, they came out, like law enforcement came out with like the top 4 platforms that are like at risk for kids when it comes to gaming.
Yeah.
Discord, Fortnite, Roblox, Minecraft.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's just like, well, there's more kids there, so there's going to be more predatory people. Same thing with like Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, you know, wherever people are, that's where people are going to come to. There's one platform. It's not for children. It's for teens, but it is alarming. So this, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, CyberTip, which is like the national tip line for this kind of stuff. CyberTip releases that there's this new friend app for teens.
Yes.
Have you heard of it?
Yeah, actually, I can't remember the name of it.
Wiz?
I think so.
There's two.
Okay.
So they came out, all that's been shared right now in the media is, I think it's called Wiz. is about this app called Wiz. And like you go on, you as a teen, you go on and then you like swipe on whatever teens are out there and then you get connected and you talk, yeah. Right? So I went to use it. And I have to say, like, it's not as risky as this other one that's come out. So this Wiz app, yeah. So this Wiz app uses AI face recognition. So you say the age you are, and then it actually assesses if you look like an adult, it knows. So you have to, yeah. So you have to like take a live photo in the moment and then it'll assess your face and essentially be like, you're not 15. And then it kicks you out. It blocks you out. You can't make any other profiles. Now there's this other app called Peekaboo.
Oh,
have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't, but that's a very interesting name.
I know, right? So Peekaboo, incredibly alarming. You essentially, and I have it on my phone right now. I just went and I made a profile in 2 seconds and I lied and I said that I was 14. There was nothing. No. Yeah. There was nothing on their end to make sure that that's actually how old I am. And then immediately I'm taken to like this kind of like Tinder essentially, or Hinge or Bumble or whatever, these dating apps where you have all these different teens who've taken selfies of themselves in their bedrooms and just like looking, you know, like so, they would look so vulnerable to somebody that's wanting to prey on that. And I will give a disclaimer that I did not reply to any of these messages. I'm not interacting with any kids. I just made a profile to see what would happen. And just in doing so, I'm getting like, these are messages from random teens who are reaching out to me. And I'm like, you don't even know who I am.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I think like there are platforms like that. So Wiz, Peekaboo, the gaming platforms, and then Instagram and Snapchat are still like high up there for expectation.
That's so good to know. We're already like 30 minutes in. So state this. For those just tuning in, you're listening to Breaking Norms, Building Dreams. We are live on United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network, 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. On that note, because I had so many questions while you were going through all that. What direction do I go? We don't actually let the kids on, obviously, social media because they're too young, but we don't put their pictures on social media as well. And the crazy thing with TikTok and all these things is that a lot of people think that they will actually have like their TikTok account for their kids, but they're watching for it to be safe. And it's just, it makes me think like, originally, actually, before we had kids, I would be like Facebook, Instagram crazy of posting like everything of my life history. I was one of those people. So like no judgment, but it's just, when we had our first kiddo, my husband's like, look, you need to take a step back because of X, Y, and Z. And I was like, I never really thought of that. Thank you for that. And so just for anyone listening, like just having your kids up on social media, it's your own parental right to say yes or no. But for how crazy it is out there, just to kind of think about it a little bit more, like we had an old daycare center to post like all the information of the kids who were graduating. And I was like horrified because it had the picture, show them who the brother, sister, whichever, what school they're going to. I was like, do you know, we literally have human traffickers too, just down the road. Why are we okaying all of this?
Yeah.
It's just mind boggling. I don't know. What are your thoughts with that?
Yeah, it's definitely something that's even more on my radar now with AI. But you're so right. I think there's things that we don't think about. Like, you know, when parents post the like picture of kids that going back to school.
Yes. Yeah.
So I have some friends on my social media and they'll do those posts and their profile is public. And then you have your kid, you have their name, their age, and then you have the school they're going to, their favorite hobbies, their, you know, the food they love most, like all these things that literally give somebody a whole like picture. Yeah, exactly. Of like exactly what they need to say and where they need to go. And I think it's something that's really interesting where as parents, we are talking to our kids about privacy and information sharing, mm-hmm. but then inadvertently we will end up actually sharing more information about them mm-hmm. than anybody else. And sometimes these predatory people, and this is so gross, but on TikTok, most of them are following the parent influencers, mm-hmm. not the kids, because the kids are actually not sharing as much as the parents are about them. And, you know, that's one of those things that we're seeing right now is like the parent influencers who share everything about yeah. their children. And you see like the number of, you know, saved videos on those, on what's posted. And I think even now, so like for me, I had like all of my personal social medias, except for my TikTok, they're private. And mm-hmm. that's where I share like photos and stuff of my kids, knowing that it's just my close friends and family on there. But I used to have like my kid as my profile picture. And then now you have AI and the ability to make deep fakes. And it's like you just posting two photos or even one photo of your kid and somebody saving that mm-hmm. easily can go on like a free platform AI thing that will turn that photo into whatever.
That's crazy. I never even thought of it that way, to be honest. That's crazy. And on that note too about, yes, I do watch a lot of TikTok, I'll admit it.
Same.
I was just watching too on that note, maybe it was the same person that was talking about Roblox, but making accounts for their kids too. If you look at how many people are following them, a good chunk of it are usually older males. Yeah. And who also save the bathing suits, suits of the kid, which is just too like just crazy to even think about. And so putting those pictures on, like I'm so mindful now, and I actually like, I don't share. We actually use a program that I looked into and it says it's safe. We put everything over there and we only share it to family members that I've manually added in and approved, and they get a password to get in as well to this app.
Oh my gosh, you're awesome.
I had to find my let go piece, because I did really share on social media a lot. And so I was like, what will I use that's a little bit more safer that I'm still able to share? Because obviously you're so proud of your kiddos and their different milestones and different achievements that you want to share with your family, friends.
Totally.
And so I found this program. I can't remember the name of it. I think Tiny Beans or something like that. I'll have to double check. And for me, that was my place to kind of like, okay, let go of posting on social media a little bit. Like it took me a lot.
It's so, and I love what you said. It's so true. We're so proud of our kids. Mm-hmm. So proud. And like, they're so cute and they're so amazing. And we have all this love and then this like platform to express that through. And it's really tough to take a step back and think about all the ways that somebody could potentially like use that against you. And obviously, I mean, there's a spectrum of being safe, but it's about like what information about your kid are you sending out there and what kind of images and, you know, all the things.
I think I told you before, like, cause I'm just like hyper-focused on this kind of stuff that we have, like I just mentioned the human traffickers, that they have two different houses here in the Victoria area. That's I think scary. Renting at least, and there are prime locations of the school districts and where the buses pick up and drop off kiddos. And to I think that's probably why I really always wanted to pick up and drop off my kids, because I know exactly where they are.
Yeah,
I don't want to be that crazy mom, but
no, but it's so true. And it's, you know, like something that I appreciate with you is like how aware you are. Mm-hmm. Of these things, I feel like probably their neighbors are probably not aware, you know, like you're very proactive in finding those things. But yeah, like that's the thing is, and like we say this to kids, you know, if you have somebody mm-hmm. who is a trafficker or a predatory person and they live close to your school, they could show up and wait for you, or they could be in the area, set their location settings on their Snapchat or Instagram or whatever, see all of the people that have their location on that platform at your school, you know, look into and like, and then really start to like map out your schedule and following you, and then appear and know exactly what to say to connect with you. And that's what we see with the traffickers too.
Which, like, we don't want to scare anybody, but it's true though. Like, it's good to know, like, my husband thinks I'm crazy, but like, I know the make and model of the cars that they drive.
You're awesome. No, that's awesome.
Like, I was driving the other day and I know that I drove past one of them.
Wow.
So I saw the vehicle and I looked at them driving and I'm like, yes, that's you. And we've also had it, was it, I think it wasn't last year, but the year following, where a girl was getting in her vehicle. It was 5 o'clock. It's still pretty light out. It was kind of darkish time because it's a little bit in the winter, and they try to push her. Not, I don't know if it was them specifically, but they try to push her in the vehicle. They had somebody behind and somebody in the passenger seat. So it's to the scale of like, if you're very aware of your surroundings and ask, like, if you go, if you know that somebody's following you, go somewhere into a safe place and ask to walk you to the vehicle.
Yeah.
To make sure safely.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the, I think that's, it's so important to think about the prevention tools, right? It's not about the, it's not about scaring our kids and talking about something that feels so out there for them. Cause I remember my parents would be like, oh, like somebody can kidnap you or whatever they would say. And I'm like, you just like, it's the news. It's not that common. You know, kids always think we're exaggerating, but yeah, it's those like safety pieces of, I want you to be aware of your surroundings, or, you know, I want you to not talk to somebody who's hanging out outside your school, but isn't a student, those kind of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you highlight any key programs that you, I know, cause you offer key programs, you do speaking, consulting, like maybe tell a bit more. So any of the listeners listening, thinking to invite you into the classroom, schools.
Yeah. So we provide parent presentations where we kind of like talked through what the current trends are, and then really give practical strategies and tools and tips that are not overwhelming. We also have student presentations. One is called Cyber Safe from Exploitation. And the other one is called, yeah. And the other one is called All About Consent, which is just exercising consent, even without like a sexual nature, just what consent is. And those are, they're gamified, they're interactive, it's fun, it's lighthearted, and they are approved by the government, and we can give them in person, we can give them virtually. So that education piece, and we have free resources on our website as well, and the prevention project. So
yes. Is there anything that we should touch on the prevention project that maybe we've missed? Because I know we kind of segued in different areas.
That's a good question. I would say if there's a topic that you're like, oh, like, how would I talk to my kid? How would I really convey why it's important for them to not share information? Or how would I convey to them what makes an unsafe person online and what red flags to look out for? Because you're probably listening to this and we're saying the scary things and you're going, well, what's the... then what do I do? If you go to thepreventionproject.ca, you can select the topic that you want with the age group that you want, and you'll have 4 or 5 different methods of conveying that information in like a fun, lighthearted way, with even like worksheets for the younger kids. So again, freely accessible and just a great thing to share.
I love that. This might be segueing a little bit off, but not really. But what is your takes on sleepovers?
Oh, yeah. It's a big one. Were you allowed to sleep over when you were a kid?
Yes. Yep.
Like, no question. Like, you were just, it was fine.
It was fine. Yep. But the more I'm looking at it, and I was even telling my husband, like, I don't think we should do it anymore. Because my brain was all fine about it. And the more I've been like looking, I was like, no, I don't know if I want this anymore. But am I just going down a rabbit hole? But then I don't know, the more I've been researching, because you know I'm pretty hyper like focused on this kind of stuff and want to educate myself a lot.
Yeah.
What are your intakes on that?
So it's funny because I remember not being allowed to sleep over with particular friends. And it irked me so much. It bothered me so much. And now I completely, I'm like, yes, I totally get it. So I think that if you absolutely know the parents and there's no odd gut feeling about it, you have a very close, not you know of the parents or you've spoken to them and they sound nice, but you have a genuine relationship with the parents and you've talked to your child about, you know, what is healthy and unhealthy behavior from an adult. I mean, you know, if it's me, I would allow sleepovers at our place if kids want to sleep over. And then I would probably have only a very small handful of people that I genuinely know and trust that would be fine. But like otherwise, no, my kid's not going to be sleeping over at, you know, a friend's house, even if I speak to the parents, because there's a recent story actually that just came out.
It's probably the one that you're thinking of, maybe. It's just one about down in, I can't remember exactly where, somewhere in the States. Texas,
maybe? Sleepover, right?
Yep.
Yeah, with the dad. Yeah. So I love how you just like, you guys know.
Everyone's like, what are they talking about? So there's a recent story that got published of a dad pretty much, I guess, drugging some of the kids that were sleeping over there. And luckily enough, they did outreach to their family that they did not feel safe. They went to go pick up the kids and the dad said no, like a pushback. And the parents were like, these are my kids, I want them out. So it's like a huge thing. But like that, like in my brain, when I now think of sleepovers, that's when like go down this crazy cycle. And obviously I don't want to think very negatively about sleepovers.
Yeah.
And I want my kiddos to have that kind of that fun, that those, I don't want them to be like made fun of too, like going to a place that's sleepover and then I'm picking them up at like midnight or whichever. But the thing is, like, it's just like, I like your point though, like really know the people before okaying it than just saying, yes, you can go, I think is a good solution. If you're feeling like,
Yeah. And also like knowing your child, because if you have a kid that is a people pleaser or you have a kid that is, that really seeks approval, right? So like, you know your kid best. So if you know that those are the qualities that your kid has, I think you want to be even more cautious and aware. But what saved those kids is that they knew what to look out for and when to reach out to their parents. So even if you are allowing the sleepover, making sure that your kid knows, like, you know, if one of the parents is giving you special attention, right? If they're commenting on your body or your appearance, if they're getting too close for comfort, if they're, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like this is the code word that we, you know, that we'll have, or just like, give me a text. And yeah. So for them to know again, what's appropriate and what's not, and who they can reach out to for help and that you're there for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Sleepovers. I'm hoping that is not a topic anytime soon yet.
I know. Oof, all the things that are to come.
With that, I was going to ask, can you share maybe any success stories or instances that you've known that you've partaken in and somebody maybe watched the videos and they're like, oh, they gave you like a great testimonial or you got to talk with them one-on-one?
Yeah. It's funny because when you work in prevention, you don't really get to see the impact that you have a lot of the times, but there's been really amazing and validating experiences where I've posted videos talking about trafficking and I've gotten comments from people saying, oh my goodness, I didn't realize, but that had happened to me and I didn't realize it until this video. Or even reaching out and saying, I think this is happening to me right now. And we see that when we give presentations in school. So very recently, actually, I was in a school and or our program was in a school, and after the presentation, there were a number of kids that went to the counselor as a result of hearing the information. They realized that something that they had been involved with online was not healthy and safe, and they felt they had the language at that point to be able to determine that what they experienced was not healthy.
That's amazing. That's yeah. So good. You'll have to come to the island and do a few presentations. I think it's so needed over here, because I know you're in Vancouver. We didn't state that, but you're in Vancouver. I'm on the island, and everybody else listening is around the world. But
but we do virtual. We actually, yeah, and we did. We every year we do virtual presentations to one of your high schools.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And we did a parent, I did a parent presentation actually last year on the island too.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. But it's, yeah, that's the thing, right? It's like, it's just have conversations with your kids and be a safe person. And that looks like not having judgment, not shaming, and, you know, and not shutting our kids down, and really understanding what it is to for our kids to feel safe sharing something that makes them uncomfortable.
Yes, definitely. I was actually just watching again TikTok about grooming, like knowing what grooming is, and that actually was kind of eye-opening for me as a parent. I don't know if you can shed, because I'm looking at the time, but maybe we can shed a little bit on that, what grooming might look like for someone who's never even seen it before.
Absolutely. So grooming is the word we use to describe the trust building and relationship building process before somebody takes advantage of you for sexual reasons. So what grooming looks like is essentially in conversation with somebody, you'll start to see these red flags that they're grooming you into exploitation. So one of those being love bombing. And what we mean by love bombing is somebody who's immediately after being connected with you, they're immediately right away giving you, like, just showering you with compliments and you know, just really boosting your self-esteem above and beyond. So constant compliments, even complimenting your body, and even giving you pet names or calling you things that you just wouldn't call someone unless you really know them very well. So there's love bombing. Another sign of grooming is gifting. So if somebody is reaching out to kids and saying, hey, you know, I'd love to give you money for your photos, or I'd love to give you some gaming tokens because, you know, we're friends now. I'd love to give you some gaming tokens, or I'd love to buy something off of your Amazon wish list, or I'd love to Venmo you some money. So any kind of person offering gifts that individual cannot afford for themselves. Mm-hmm. And then we have the isolation piece. So in a grooming scenario, you have somebody that's trying to separate you emotionally or physically from adults that you trust. So that can look like talking down your parents, finding a way to say, oh, your parents are so strict, or why don't they trust you? Or, you know, you're really mature for your age. They should give you more freedom. Or even physically separating you, even digitally. So like telling you, hey, add me on this platform that is more secure. So maybe it's add me on Snapchat or add me on WhatsApp. So those are kind of the more main signs of grooming that we see, especially digitally.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I was watching a mom coming forward, like asking what their thoughts were about these gifts. So I guess gifts showed up randomly at her door, which is...
I saw that video too. We're on the same algorithm.
This is why we're friends.
Literally the same algorithm.
But yeah, like, so the video is her asking, what are the thoughts of the listeners or friends, whichever, of this gift, which was a case of sunglasses. And then pulled out the next piece was a MacBook Pro, which is a pretty penny. And so that was like an interesting, I was like, oh, noted. Like, I didn't even, like, I would have just probably been like, oh, free presents. But then the computer probably would have really hit me off. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, I think that's what's interesting is like, yeah, if your kid's all of a sudden getting things that you didn't buy them and they shouldn't be able to afford, that's that. Yeah, you want to be asking like, where is that coming from who? Who's this friend? Absolutely.
Would you say like when you're asking the kids, because I believe this instance, he was 10 from the video. So do you have any kind of tips on like asking kids that? Because they might get defensive and just shut down and then you can't really actually get any kind of answer to it.
Absolutely. I think that we have to recognize the developmental stage that our kids are at and that they're not adults. And so even if something is scary or upsets us, the way that we ask questions, if we want our kids to feel safe telling us the truth, we have to come across as safe adults. And that looks like not interrogating and not believing that they had bad intentions or that they wanted to get in trouble or do something wrong. And recognizing that they're a victim. If your kid is being groomed, they're a victim. They're not a part of the grooming, right? And so, having that conversation of, hey, I've noticed that you have this stuff. We didn't buy it for you. Where'd it come from? And if they're not telling you, I think even laying out the you won't get in trouble or I won't take your iPad away or whatever it is that they're scared of. So they understand that, it's safe to share.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I think we'll just have to talk after too about all the different channels.
Yes.
I'm just looking at the time and being mindful of it. Before we jump off, looking ahead, are there any key future goals that you hope to achieve? Because the prevention project to me, first off, is such a great one that you've already achieved and promoting. Is there any other ones that we should know about?
Yeah, so we're going to be making a virtual online curriculum and courses. For students, which is very exciting. And we have some other projects in the work and we'll be sharing them in the future. There's definitely more courses, more curriculum, and more. We're going to start creating an online parent resource as well.
Love it. So everyone listening, please go follow. I have them in the banner here in the website, and the Prevention Project just released today. So excited to go dig into it. I'm not even joking. I'm going to go read more about it here shortly because I'm watching the countdown. Well, thank you for coming on the show. And let me just, what is happening? I don't even know right now. Everything's moving all of a sudden. I thought some comments were coming in, but no comments. Okay. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to the show. And the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network. Next week, please come join us live with Megan. We are navigating fashion and wellness and being yourself in who you are. So with that, I want to thank Tiana for coming in on the show and educating us. I'm so excited. Please come back because I know we can talk about all the things and we'll just have to re-download all the different probably TikTok shows that we probably already watched together. Yes. With that, until next week, remember your journey is unique and you are worthless. Worth is unquestionable. Thank you everyone for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.